Sometimes it can be difficult to talk about a collection of stories, but this is more than a collection. You give us a roadmap of sorts in the epigraph. Talk to me about Hook and Chain and how it relates to this collection.
Hook and Chain is a definition. I don't know if I should say this. It's an invented definition. And I had been searching for a poem form that would describe how the short story collection was set up, which is described as interconnected or linked stories. It's because that's a relationship I see when anybody engages in research or historical fiction or books of nonfiction. There's the person in the present, and then there's the event or people or culture or object, artifact in the past, and you're reaching through time to try to animate that thing. And it's not a relationship of 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a relationship of 1, 2. It's the person in the present and the thing in the past. And it creates this duet almost. And that duet can be harmonious, and that relationship can change over time. And it can be a little bit like music, which is a big theme in the collection, where you're hitting two notes and they make almost a third, more substantial, interesting sound as in a harmony. So that was the best way to describe what the collection, the body, the DNA of the collection, and also to give readers a roadmap, because it would be a very different experience if you read the collection one story later in the book, one story at the beginning, one story in the middle, which is sometimes how I read short story collections. And I really wanted to make sure people read it chronologically as you go through the book, because each preceding story answers some question of the other, either thematically or through a character, or at times in one of the stories, a murder mystery is solved, for instance.
Yeah, I had no idea you made that up. I'm so glad you told me. I thought it was something I wasn't aware of.
You might be the first person for me to admit that to, and I'm hesitant to say, but I have a very good reason why I want to say that, why I want to admit it, is there are so many parts of the book that seem wild and fabricated and couldn't possibly have happened from the past, but are verifiable facts. And there are other parts of the book that seem totally mundane, elements of the past, but are invented. And I think Hook and Chain is the first moment where I use readers' assumptions in writers' authority about the past or definitions as a question. And I think everybody, especially in the past few decades and certainly past 5 years, as people have been rethinking history, how we frame narratives in the 19th century, how we frame narratives in the past 50 years, it's a good idea to question what is fact and what's fiction. And I think if you're going to write historical fiction, part of the workshop, or the tools in the workshop, is using verifiable facts and invented, imagined spaces. That reflection on that relationship is something I wanted to build in really early on. And I think it's fun to know that, for instance, that epigraph is invented, because it seems so real.
Listeners who have been with us a while know that I like to read and listen to the audiobook simultaneously. And this audio was quite a production with an ensemble cast, and one story in the book was a transcript, but in the audio form of the book, it was an actual episode of Radiolab with music and studio recording and phone interviews and sound collected on site. So how involved were you in the audiobook production?
Well, if I can just, plug the audiobook for one second. It is astounding. The cast is Chris Cooper, Ed Helms, Nick Offerman, Paul Mescal, and an amazing cast of readers. If you have a book that spans 300 years with lots of different voices, I knew that the audiobook was going to be really important to this project, that it wasn't just about letting people listen to the audiobook, but letting people experience it in another way. For instance, in the story called The Journal of Thomas Thurber, Nick Offerman embodies a lumberman from 1908. And that is a very special experience to hear. I was involved in the way that I really pushed for the audiobook to be a special, separate experience. And then for anybody who would Google the history of sound, the first thing that would probably show up is not my book, but a movie. And I wrote the screenplay to the film that has filmed and will be out next year in 2025. So some of the people who are involved in the movie, Paul Mescal and Josh O'Connor are the leads in that. It's not a far leap to see how Paul Mescal ended up reading the short story, Edwin James of Nantucket, because he was already involved in this project.
You are also a painter
Yeah.
and a museum curator, and you own a general store. Do these other interests contribute to your writing?
Strangely, one of the biggest influences in the book had been my time spent at ornithological research stations. So after that's like another huge part of my life. After college, I just spent time at research stations, and there's birds everywhere in this book. The general store, not really. It is the oldest general store in America. I love going there. I think with painting, there are weirdly some lessons in painting that apply on paper to short story writing or any story writing. Something that I came upon when there was a problem with the story and I couldn't figure out how to fix it. And I thought of a problem that sometimes I come across in painting. I haven't painted in a while now, but most landscape paintings or still lives, they have a foreground, middle ground, and background. And I find that if I'm having a problem with a story, I'll just ask if there's a believable foreground, middle ground, and background to a story. The background might be the Civil War is happening. The middle ground might be this town is caught in the middle of that Civil War, and the foreground is going to be the very intense relationship that the character's having with a brother, a friend, a lover, whomever. And that editorial process that you can bring to painting applies almost directly to story making as well.